We'll go ahead and get started. This is going to be very informal and we hope very informative. This is the Cowboy Artists Association of Florida. Some of the members. How many members do you have?
Seven, I think. Seven. We might have a few more than that.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but it is an organization of people that do Florida cattle ranching theme art. And Mr. Sean Sexton to my right, your left, is the president of the organization. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got started?
I'm the spokesperson. We decided we don't have a president. but Lynn Lux is our treasurer. That's what really matters. We got started about, I think, 12 or 15 years ago. Well, probably about 12. We actually founded the organization in the old FCA headquarters, and they've since moved to a new one. So we met at the Florida Cattlemen's Association headquarters and started the organization, seeing that we all had certain things in common to Florida cowboy art. And we proceeded from then, and we try to have several exhibitions together annually, and we haven't been successful in many things, but we have done that. We've all kept to that and worked hard to produce new paintings every year representing our industry, and we seem to cover, without even asking one another to do so, just about all of the different aspects of cattle ranching that there are. There are so many different kinds of cattle ranching operations and methods, and there's also a historical aspect to it, and we seem to do all of those things.
Well, Sean, thanks. Maybe we could start with you, and we'll go right around the horn here. You've got a nice landscape painting from your place there with cattle in it, of course. And maybe if you'll just tell us what that painting's about, and that'll also put us into you talking about where your place is and your work.
I'm from Indian River County, and so you would say in cattle ranching terms, South Florida. And this painting I did over an entire season in the summer of 1990. It's an older painting. And I went out, I painted on the back of a flatbed truck, and I usually find what I paint from horseback on our ranch or from the tractor doing field work. And my time is just about evenly divided between painting and taking care of our 300 cow brood cow herd, and I'm the sole employee of the ranch, and I spend my whole life doing both of those things, and that's about it. And I literally drove out with a flatbed truck and painted on the back of the truck to get the same height that I found the painting from horseback. And when you find an idea or a picture, and then you go out there standing on your feet, you wonder where the picture went away to, because horseback height is quite a bit higher, and it inverts that picture plane. And so I literally painted on the back of a truck over a whole season, over the summer. It's a late evening, and the cows all came up to get water, and somebody said, well, did they all stand like that for you every time, you know? And of course they didn't, and if I needed a cow standing like that, there was usually one somewhere among them standing that way. And when I got through with the cows, I still went back and worked on the landscape off and on in that whole time. You paint the dynamic things first, and then you can work on the landscape around it over time.
And of course, I would imagine that working with the cattle every day, living with them literally since they're born. You get pretty familiar with the anatomy and how cows are built, because if you didn't paint them correctly, we wouldn't like it, even if we don't know much about cows.
Yeah, I thought one time there was this restaurant that had an animal in its logo, and the animal was poorly drawn, and the restaurant failed, and I figured that if the animal had been drawn a little better, the restaurant probably would have made it, you know.
Okay, Regina, you want to tell us about the piece you've got here and about your work in general?
Well, my dad was an artist, so I kind of grew up in the studio, and is this loud enough? So I've been messing in paints for a while, and I loved horses, and things led to things, and later on in my life, I've been in the state since 52, and I realized we were losing a lot of the neat stuff, and so I got interested in Florida history, things they didn't teach me in school I found out on my own, and got really interested in the cattle industry. And this painting is called the Cow Hunter. And I painted it before I ever saw Payne's Prairie. And then I learned about Payne's Prairie when we moved to Micanopy. So I've been really doing a lot of cattle painting, horses, landscape, and wildlife. But I kind of thought that I'd do some modern day cattle, which are up here. And those are Brangus, and the painting's entitled Can You Hear Me Now? And I'll never forget the first time I saw a cowman with a cell phone. And I thought, wow, that'd be an interesting thing. So, but basically what I found in my research and being around cattlemen and everything is it boils down to the cattleman has not lost his need for a good horse, a whip, and a good dog. And you'll find them both in this picture and this one back here, which spans maybe 150 years. So.
Okay, Alfred. I forgot to identify you or ask yourself. Could you tell us your name? And
Regina Brisky.
Thank you, Regina. And next we have Mr. Eldon Lux from down in Osceola County on, what was that, Lake Marion Road?
Peavine.
Yeah.
Right off to Peavine, yeah. Well, I'm not a Florida native. I married a Florida native, so that makes me another import. But I've been in here 14 years, I guess, and it's pretty much, if not my home, my second home anyway. I grew up in Nebraska on a ranch. All I ever wanted to do was ranch. Went to college at Huskerville and got an animal science degree and ranched till I went broke. And I guess all during that time I was involved in some type of art. But you do what you got to do to make a living. I guess fortunately for me, it's turned out to be art right now. It's nice to be able to document the industry that you love and you grew up in and still be a part of it. And where I live now, I'm fortunate enough to day work on a few ranches and kind of still keep your hand in it. In fact, this last week I've kept my hand in it too much, I guess, because I have been pregnancy testing cows all week long. And you can't hardly get your hand in it any farther than that. This little sketch that I brought, I do mostly oil paintings and pencil sketches, and I like to do portrait work. And this fella is a neighbor rancher by the name of Doug Parton that would sure be a good candidate if you get him up on this stage, because he might not say much, but if he said something, you better listen, because it's gonna be right. Old Doug is about 5'4", maybe 5'6", if you stretch him. Played football for the University of Florida. A tough little nut now. He's got his own ranch, takes care of the Silver Spurs bucking stock. he's one of the guys, and I don't know whether y'all have ever heard anybody that could mammy up calves or not, but they got to have a gift and a photographic memory. But Doug can ride through a set of cows for maybe 30 minutes, take him to the pens and put him on that parting gate right where he's at there, and he'll part those cows out, and when he's done, he'll have them all matched up in the same pen. I mean, there's very few people that can do that, very few ranchers can do that, and it is truly a gift, and Doug's one of the best. This particular day, Doug kind of grew up after he got out of college. He come home and he worked for the Lucky L Ranch at Keenansville, and ended up buying part of their property for his ranch and managed their cow herd until they sold out. And this day was the day that they sold out, and I went over there to help him and had my camera, and I just caught a picture of Doug on that parting gate. And he always smoked a cigarette, you know. He just kind of sitting there, just his natural pose. Unless his wife was around, then the cigarette was on the inside of his hand. So if you see him around in public, he'd be smoking like this. If he's out in cow pens, it's like this. But anyway, it was a moment, you know, it was a moment in time. And it was, indicative of what's happening to our industry, because it was a big ranch. It'd been there a long time. They're selling the cattle. They'd already sold half of the ranch to Three Lakes, to the government. You know, the future was uncertain. And in fact, just a couple of weeks ago, they sold the remainder of that ranch. Doug has had his cattle on there after Lucky L sold their cattle, and now he's going to have to find a place for his cattle. So, you know, the story just goes on, I guess, with this. It means a lot to me, but I love the guy. I mean, he's a good fella, but, you know, it's just a, it's indicative of what's happening to our industry in the state, you know, and just little pieces at a time just keep disappearing. And anyway, that's what this sketch is about.
Thank you, Eldon. Sitting next to Eldon, we have Mr. Hobby Campbell, who lives over in Lurita, I believe. Everybody knows where that is, right? he's well known in the Okeechobee area, has a lot of his work in Eli's Western Store is kind of a main hub for cattle culture down there. If you want to know anything about cows and cowboys or what's rodeos coming up, you go to Eli's. And I'll let Hobby talk about his work.
Thank you. My name is Hobby Campbell, and I was born and raised in Okeechobee, Bassinger, which is in Okeechobee County. And I heard Mr. Davis and Mr. Altman up here earlier. They was asked where their roots come from, and all I could think about was, you know, my first lessons in life and where it all started. And mine were sitting in front of my daddy on a horse. I couldn't have been just probably a toddler, but I believe blessed with the gift of a photographic memory, and the saddle horn looked about that big around, and the horse's head was from here to them chairs out there, it seemed like. So I could definitely was horseback before I could walk, and I still ride one as much as I can today. It's been... just turned 42 years old, so I've been on one all my life. And about the painting, it's titled The Lonesome Brammer. It's probably a scene you don't see much of anymore, but it's got two Florida cow hunters probably relocating an old Brammer bull. It looks like he's probably old enough to be set in his own ways. And when they get that old, they pretty much go where they want to and don't usually stay where they belong. And they just moving him around and hoping for the best that he don't get up there and sell up in the gate and hold up the show. And he ends up where he's supposed to be. But no telling how long that'll last. But that's what this is all about. I guess that's about it.
Well, Hobby, can you maybe we'll go back, start back the other way. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got started doing art? Did you have any training?
I was born with a pencil, I guess, in my hand, or a piece of chalk, as my mother would say. My daddy was a day working cowboy and a rodeo cowboy, and I believe I was fascinated with, you know, what he done, and I couldn't get to enough of it, and I used to drag out his rodeo photographs, and I guess I pretty much destroyed them. So she took them away and hid them from me, so I just started trying to draw them out on a chalkboard, and that was almost back before I could remember anything. So it all started there, drawing old bucking bulls and cowboys and bucking horses, and it just developed from there. It's been a lifelong road. So
did you have some training in art?
No, not at all. I took a few art classes in school, and I think I flunked every one of them. So I was set in my ways at an early age as to what I wanted to do, and I guess I wasn't going to let no art teacher tell me any different. So,
Eldon, you got a degree in animal science. Does that factor into your work at all?
Yeah, you know, I used to kind of feel frustrated when I wasn't in the cattle business. I thought, well, I wasted my opportunity to get an education to really benefit myself. But then, you know, I kind of slapped myself in the face, and I took a lot of anatomy and physiology, and I was on a livestock judging team. I had a professor by the name of R.B. Warren that really was like a second daddy to me, I guess. And you know, like Sean and you were talking, you know, if a cow or horse isn't right anatomically, he's not right. And, you know, you can kind of cheat on an old pine tree or an oak tree or something like that, you know, but you take an animal or a person, you know, if you're not structurally correct, why, it's, you don't have it. So that aspect of my education I use daily. I really do.
Regina, can you tell us about your art training or sort of where you come from in terms of technique and some of the techniques you use, some of the media you work in?
Well, being the daughter of an artist and having free roam in the studio got me into a lot of trouble sometimes. He was an illustrator and had deadlines, and I remember one time when I was quite young, I tried to help him out a little bit on one painting that needed to get done the next day. And I didn't realize this kind of thing. I knew Daddy was having a fit about having to get the painting done. So all things turned out all right. He didn't get mad, but that's when I got my own set of paints. And says, no, you don't ever draw on anybody else. So anyway, I'm loving animals the way I have, and having the desire to reproduce how beautiful they are, just kind of like all of us, we had to put it down on paper to get, you know, we needed it right there. And with Daddy's instruction and lots of books and lots of traveling and being allowed to have a lot of animals, I naturally drew what I saw. And as far as my desire to fascination with Florida history, I had to learn most of that myself. But I've settled on oils. I like oils best. Watercolors are unforgiving. Once you put the color down, you can't get it off again. And I changed my mind a lot. Sean and I like to both do a lot of etchings, but I haven't done a lot of those lately. This one is a print from an oil, and I brought this one along to work on. I've been working on it down there. In the case of this painting, I've got one bulldoggy quarter horse here that probably shouldn't be working cows. This is more the type, these two guys here, right, that you work cows with that don't have so much muscle and things. These are Brangus, and they'll be darker after I work on them. I'm just getting the light parts where the light's hitting. Then when it dries, I'll go over and glaze with a darker color, darker black and blue. And there'll be more cows back in here, and somebody suggested a few palm trees just to show it's Florida. But I've got maybe a month or two more to work on this if I keep at it. So did I say what you wanted? Okay.
Sean, maybe you could say a couple of words about the mission of the organization, and is there any comparisons you can make between what y'all do and some of the more familiar cowboy art from out west that people might be more familiar with? Can you talk any about all that?
Well, there are large, prestigious Western and cowboy art organizations in other parts of the country. And I think that the Florida cowboy artists have their own special characteristics, and I think that one thing that we all have in common, I think there's a lot of there's some real sincerity and a kind of realism in our work that seems to be kind of glossed over and maybe romanticized in what I see of Western cowboy art, and I'm very proud of our organization and the work that everybody's doing, and I think it really does come out of their lives. You know, you've heard everybody's background, and we're in it up to our necks. You know, it's it really does stem from our lives. And go ahead, Eldon.
Well, I just want to make one comment. I mean, I like Florida and I like painting Florida, but me personally, I'm not going to take anything away from anybody else. But if I was in Africa, I'd paint Africa. And when I go back to Nebraska and paint, I paint Nebraska. And if I'm in New Mexico, I'm going to paint New Mexico. And everywhere you paint, your light's going to be different, your subject's going to be different, your atmosphere's going to be different. And, you know, I think we do have something unique in Florida because it's Florida art. But I think any of the four of us, if we went anywhere, we'd do the same thing I just said. You're going to paint your surroundings. And the people that are your patrons of your paintings are going to want their surroundings. An example, I had an art show back in Nebraska a year ago, and I took my Florida art out there, but I had a few paintings that I'd done in Nebraska. And I'm not a public speaker by any means, and about 10 minutes beforehand, they informed me that they'd like to have me give a little 30-minute speech, so I pulled something together, and I talked about my art just like we are. And my little 30-minute speech extended to about an hour and a half by the time they got done asking me questions about my Florida art. But my point is, everything that sold at the art show was Nebraska art. They were as interested in our Florida art as we are about Western art.
Yeah.
But we're not Western. We're Floridian, you know. And, you know, you go out in New Mexico and paint, you got a whole different palette to use because the light's different, the color's different. And, you know, I think when you get away from here, you find an appreciation for Florida that we don't realize that we have while we're here. You know, sometimes, like my dad told me one time, he sold out, sold a ranch in '68, and it broke my heart and it broke his heart. And he told me a few years later, he says, you know, he called me Jake, but he said, you know, Jake, he said, if I'd have just taken the time to get off for a couple of weeks in the summertime, go on vacation, he said, I'd probably still have the ranch. You know, so I think it's a necessity for us and probably everybody to not get tunnel vision, not feel we're secluded, not feel like we're being ignored and negated, and get out and see other people's point of view. See us through other people's eyes, I guess what I'm trying to say. And we do, as a state, as an agriculture state, and as a livestock industry, and our art, we do demand and get a lot of respect from our counterparts out west, you know.
Thanks, Eldon, and thanks to all of you. We really appreciate it, and I encourage folks to visit. We have cowboy artists on both sides of the roadway here, and we sure appreciate you all participating.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our pleasure. Stick around. We got some cowboy poetry coming up next with Mr. Doyle Rigdon and Mr. Carl Sharp, 93 years young.